Test pasuk beis oide Hashem chalibi asapra b'kol nefilasech. I thank you Hashem with all of my heart. Asapra, I relate sipur yitzias mitzrayim kol nefilasech all of your wonders. Let's see the mitzvahs. I'm going to do the mitzvahs in Rashi and select the midrash and pasuk beis in the mitzvahs. Oh, wait, we're doing the Rashi. Oh, wait, so we're going to do the Rashi. I didn't do the Rashi. Oh yeah, we didn't do the Rashi. That's so backtracked. Okay, we have to go back to the Rashi. I'm sorry. Back to the Rashi in the Pasuk Aleph. So we didn't study in Lezech al Muslabein. That means we already did 2 days of Hakdamah, 2 days of introduction to Mizmar Tess, and today we have to move ahead. Again, I'm going to read the Rashi. Lamatzech al Muslabein Mizmar Lidavid. We did half the part of the Rashi, which review. Alamus. Rashi over here in the Dibur HaMasna says that it's one word. It's not like we think that it's two words, but the truth is only one word. It's not alamus, over the death, but it's alamus. Alamus means eternity, forever. It is similar to the word oilamim. Oilamim means forever. Some want to say that the reason why the word oilamim means forever is because it is the plural of the word oilam. Whenever you add a yud and a mem to the end of a word, that transforms the word from singular to plural. Why would there be oilamim, worlds? There are two worlds. There's oilam hazeh, and there is oilam haba. This world and oilam haba, that's why it's called oilamim. Here it says almus. Almus, I don't know the grammar, how almus relates to the word oilamim, but it does, obviously. And that's what Rashi here says, Al-Mus, the Dibur HaMaschil of Rashi, in it itself, is a commentary of Rashi, that it's not two separate words, it is one word. Next, Labein, Yesh Poisrin, some interpret, Al-Mus Labein. Poiser, what does the word Poiser mean? Poiser means to break open. Poiser means, it literally means to open up, to open up. When Rashi says, very interesting, when Medayik in Rashi, Rashi, Yesh Leforesh, Yesh Oimrin, Yesh Adorshin, Alder, says, Al-Pshar Lefi Peshutoi, this itself is a big topic of discussion, a big study. When Rashi comes to explain the Pasuk, and Rashi uses a term in reference to his translation, either he'll use Yesh Darshin, Yesh Rav Ascension Darshin, Yesh Oimrin, Yesh Darshin. Okay, have you said that before? Yesh, yeah. And over here it's, and there's Lefi Pishutai. And here he says another term which is very important to pay attention to, Yesh Poisrin. The Poiser. Poiser, I don't know exactly what it means, but it has like a flavor, it would appear. You reveal a secret. You reveal a secret of Kalman. You have a good insight into what is the difference between the word Yesh Poiser and the Poiser. Poiser Chalamos. Isn't that what Yosef said?
Yeah.
To be Poiser. So that obviously means it's Nelam. It is something that is concealed. It's not understood. And you need an expert to reveal the secret. That was Yosef. Yosef was Sofnas Paneach, to reveal hidden things. So when Rashi says Yesh Poiserin, you have to stop and pause. If the stop and pause, Rashi is saying this word over here is a very difficult word, and don't just there's something hidden, and it has to be exposed. The secret of what it means. It's not Yesh Darshin. It's not Yesh Oimrim. It's not Lefi Pishutai. There's something, and it's not a Kloimar. Kloimar is probably also is a world to itself, and Rashi says Kloimar. Kloimar. This means to say you're not going to find it in the text. I'm going to go and embellish. I'm going to add a sentence, a paragraph, words to explain what the pasuk means. And now you have another expression of Rashi, Yesh Poisrin. It's a secret. Oh, right. Impossible to know. And you have to...
Something more mysterious.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nihyeh Bidvaroi. Yesh Poisrin Almus Labein Almois Binoi. So therefore, so here Rashi is a, seems to be contradicting himself. First he says, it is, he says the word is almus, which the vast majority of the commentators explained to me over here, the word almus means forever. And then he says, yesh poisrin, he says it means almus labein. Two separate words. David composed a song regarding the death of a child, which shot almost b'noy av shalom, we discussed last week. V'lo yitachin pisrin, this is incorrect. B'bnei oymar labein, v'lo yomar habein. Rashi is very strict with grammar. V'ein lo b'mizmar edus, number two, strike two. V'ein lo b'mizmar edus, v'zikaron la'meit zeh. Ha pisrin, there is no testimony. There is no zikaron. Every word of Rashi is very precise. There is no zecher, any remembrance, in order to strengthen this pisroin. Okay, you have to, if you want to give a hypothesis, you have to be ma'amitz. You have to bring proof. You have to defend your thesis. The yesh poishrim al muslabein refers to novel va'avzel lo yitochin, impossible. Notice over here he has different expressions. When it came to the word avshalom, he said ein loy ba mizmar edus v'zikaroin. Here he says pretty strong, v'lo yitochein, impossible. V'lo yitochein l'hafeich es Hashem. And also, v'ein b'mizmar zichroinoi, there's no mention of novel hakarmeli anywhere in the mizmar. V'reisi, b'mosores, ha'gedoyla.
Can I just note something here? He has here, parenthesis, the preceding paragraph does not appear in most editions.
Okay, that's probably why in the art school edition they have, I don't know what you call these things, less than sign, greater than sign. I never saw anyone do this. They have brackets. They used to use brackets for this. Why do they put
in parentheses? Right. The same thing.
So they don't even use parentheses. They don't use brackets. They use symbols that I never saw anyone do before. I don't know why. There must be a reason. And right, that's why he's putting in these brackets, these symbols, because this does not appear in any other find. So who put this here? Either it's a different manuscript, or maybe an editor, or a Talmud. These are from the big mysteries.
Right, so which would explain the unusual terminology.
Aha, uh-huh, okay. Oh, so you're saying that the terminology of Pisroin is not from Rashi.
Unusual, it is for Rashi to use this term.
Term of Pisroin. Correct. I understand something. The same way we know that it's not usual, the person who put this commentary, he knew Rashi, I'm assuming, infinitely better than we know. Okay, if he got a chance to put his own commentary, you would think that if he wanted to go and if he would write in the language of Rashi. Someone who reads Rashi, you know how to sprach. You know Rashi's vocabulary, Rashi's terminology. It's not likely to have an editor that's going to go with, if you want to blend into Rashi, why he would use different terminology, I don't know the answer. V'yesh, let's go further. V'reisi b'mesores ha'gidoylo shiteva achas. Okay, now he goes back to the Dibur HaMasel of Alamos. B'mesora gidoylo. See, they don't do this anymore. It's interesting why they don't do it. They actually, someone came with a sefer. You know, they put out a sefer recently. B'mesora gidoylo, b'mesora katana. If you look at, the old Mikros gidoylos, on the side they have what's called the b'mesora gidoylo and the b'mesora katana. Probably 95% of the population has no clue what it is. You show someone the old edition of Megillas Gedolos, and you add, what in the world is this? And you look at it, looks like Greek, a whole collection of letters. There's a very interesting system of how to read, how to interpret the Mesorah Gedolah and the Mesorah Ketana. Basically, what it does is, every single word in Tanakh is matched up against all of the other words in the entire Tanakh. So how many times in Tanakh does it say the word Alamos? So it'll have a letter, or let's say the letter, I don't remember the system. The system will say Zayin. The word appears seven times, and then it'll say two of them are Choser, and one is Mole. Something like that. One has a Nikud, and one has a Patach, and it's all written in code. It doesn't say it out. This word appears in Tanakh eight times, and three of them have a patach in this letter, and two of them have a komatz. It doesn't say
infrequent words, right?
Right, but
which is something like the Balaturah.
Well, every single page, there's quite a bit on the side. And why was this necessary? Why would this is like the checksum in computers. When you send a packet of data over the internet, what do you do? How do you know that your data gets there? When you go and you communicate with another machine, when you're on your computer, you go and you type in an address and you go somewhere, you send information, how can you be certain that the receiving end got the packet of data? What you don't really goes on behind the scenes is that when you send information, it takes the packet and it adds up all the numbers, it converts everything into numbers, it adds it all up, assigns it a code, and then it sends the packet with the code. And the receiving machine has to do the same exact thing, add up all the numbers, convert whatever it got into whatever, some standardized system, and then check it versus the number. And if the two do not add up, obviously there's been loss. The packet is deficient. Something is missing. Sends a message, send it again. It got lost in the mail. So that's exactly the purpose of the Surah Gil Surah Ketan, is because since there's so many seifrim that are writing Tanakh, and when they write Tanakh, they make mistakes. So in order to guarantee that we preserve the Mesorah, and we know when a scribe made an error in his transcription of Tanakh, we have a code. There's a code. The code is this word appears in Tanakh X number of times. And X number of times it's spelled this way, and X number of times it's spelled that way. That way we can check the entire Tanakh to make sure that it has been preserved. The Mesorah has been preserved, that the scribe did not make a mistake. We can know which one is authentic. So here Rashi is quoting from the Mesorah Gedolah. This is something like the Mesorah Gedolah and the Mesorah Ketanah. Maybe when they'll give a shir. You know all this explained very well? Oh, I'm not sure he shows it in an interesting way. Rabbi Orlean, Rabbi Dr. Mitchell Orlean, you are the Sefer, published a Sefer, and you work on a manuscript called Sefer Hagan, and there he has a very lengthy Hagdam. Here the Sefer is the Hagdamah, and he explains, he has a little chunk of Sefer, and he explains a lot of these things, and he shows you the manuscript, and he shows all the different parts of the manuscript, how it all comes together. All right, let's go further over here. V'ra'is v'ed m'sar v'gadol l'shir teva achas. Shaharei. Chiber lo. Hu yinahageihu alamus. Okay, this is a later on, Mizman M'ches. Hashem will guide us forever. Hashem will lead us, will take us by the hand forever. Alamus. Today's what?
Monday is the last pasuk of today's
Yom. How come I don't know that? Where is my head? High gear. Okay. Who yinahageyu almos? Pashu menachem v'dunash masha pashu ve'ein nida beinai. He's not. I don't even know. I don't know what he doesn't say. What it says over here. I don't know. Maybe someone else on the page quotes it. I don't see. But he's quoting over here his two friends. The two people that Rashi quotes in Tanakh continuously is menachem and dunash. These were two grammarians. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes.
So they Rashi quotes them very, very often. He says, well, whatever they said, the Einoi Nira Beinai, I reject their interpretation. Okay, so now we're going to another interpretation. Yesterday, I think on Friday we came away with about five or six interpretations, and now we're having number seven or number six, Medaba Molek the Esav, Go'arto Goyim. Hashem, you have shouted at the nations. Ibadita Rosha, you have destroyed the wicked. Shemam Mochisa, you have erased their name. The Oimer, there's another pasuk. That's pasuk Vav. The Oimer, Ani. What does that mean? So Labain is a reference to Amalek and Esav. Now he explains. Now, how does the word Labain? Refer to Lamatzeach Almus Labain. How does Amalek and the Rishoyim Amalek Vesav hinted to in the word Labain? I don't know. Almus means forever. Rashi is telling us from the Mesorah Gedolah the word Almus means forever.
Yeah,
and forever.
Labain means something else. It also, it said to brighten. It's like libun kalim.
Whiten, purging. Libun is to cleanse. So you're trying to explain is that in the future, the Almos connotes Melchama la Hashem ba'amolek dor. Is that a pasuk? Midor. The battle against Amolek is an eternal battle. It's a battle that goes on from generation to generation. That's what it means, Almos. Almos means Chudina Hagenu. Hashem, you will lead us, you will guide us. Almos. Almos means forever, but the connotation, the flavor of the word forever in this context means continuously, until the end of days. Until the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us by the hand and guide us through life. With regard to our enemies, there is one enemy that is not going to be defeated until the very, very end. He should have been defeated in the very beginning. All the different, there were many chances that we had. Moshe had a chance, someone learned that. It's a very deep idea about in Parashas B'Shalach. Moshe went out, Voyekasher Yodim Yodoy, Govar Yisrael, Vechasher Yoniach Yodoy, Vigovar Amalek. What does it mean? It just means, oh, you took a baseball game, and like, okay, the other team is now in the lead. But as long as you get down to the bottom of the ninth, your home team comes back and hits a home run, everything is good. As long as you win at the end, you win the game. You get the medal. No, that's not what it means. When it comes in Tanakh and it says, Vehoyo kasher yoniach yodoy v'govar amolek, that gevura of amolek had consequences forever. The fact that there was even a moment when Moshe's hands were down and v'govar amolek, that planted seeds, which we have to deal with the consequences until the coming of Mashiach. If Moshe would have been able to keep his hands up continuously, and there would never have been a moment of the Govar Amalek, and it was only the Govar Yisrael, we wouldn't have all these problems. There would not have been Amalek. There would not have been a battle with Shaul and Amalek, and Amalek would not have been an issue. Who knows how things would have played out? There would not have been a Purim story. The whole world would have been different. The whole trajectory of history would have been different if Klal Yisrael would have wiped out Amalek at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. But there was a problem. What the problem is, we don't know. There was obviously Moshe Rabbeinu was only as great as Klal Yisrael allows him to be. And there was some issue. And that issue brought about a reality where Moshe's hands were not always raised. They were down for short periods of time. And during those short periods of time, the Govar Amalek, and there are consequences. This is not a baseball game where the only thing that counts is who wins at the bottom of the ninth. It's not a baseball game. If there are moments during the game when the other team is winning, that has long-term consequences. Therefore, we need Hashem to help us, Almos. Hu yin hagenu Almos. The enemy that needs to be purged is Amalek. You can't say that about Mitzrayim. You can't say that about Canaan. You can't say that about Ammon and Moab, because those nations are gone. They're long gone. They disappeared on the face of the earth. We don't need Hashem to help us with them, Alamos. We need them in their time. They're gone. Now there's only one nation that's still going, the Energizer Bunny keeps on going, and that is Amalek. And he's coming to explain that's what it means from this person, Alam Natseach, Almus Labein. So Rabbi Chola said, "We're labein lakon libun. Libun means to purge. To libun with a chiruk. It's an expression, a binyan of an active form of purging. Oh, so you want to say another? You're saying another idea. You're saying to understand. Okay, but first, I think that's a new idea. He's coming. That's the next thing. Over here, he's saying over here first. She'inyan amidaber ba'amalik veisav gar to goyim ibar to rasha shemam machisa. Period." Okay, let's go further. Va'imrani, Rashi now says, after he quoted from what the Psikta said, now he says what I have to say. Lamatzech al almus labein, shir zel osalova kishiyis labein, this is what Michal said, kishiyis labein yalduson v'shacharuson shel Yisrael, when it will be purged, cleansed, the childish behavior of the Jewish people, the Yalduson v'Shacharuson shel Yisrael. The Shacharuson means it can. How do you want to translate the word v'Shacharuson? Shachar is sun. How do you translate that word?
The light would come.
The light?
Yeah.
Allah Hashachar. Yeah, but it's saying over here, but it's going back on Kishi Yislabein. When it will be white, the Yalbus, the Shachar is sun. Does the word Shachar mean black sometimes? Is there any form of the word Shachar is sun? Shachar. Shachar. So that means when a person's hair is black, when a person's hair is dark, it means, no, why? Everyone here is dark here. I only see dark here. Young people.
They're beginning.
What? Shachar is the beginning. Very good thing. Shachar means the dawn of a person's life. The dawn of a person's life. Youth is wasted on the young. The dawn of a person's life is when he makes a lot of mistakes. He does not a sure thing. The bocherish years, have you heard that expression? A bocher. There's a slang.
Bacharut.
There's a slang. There's a Yiddish slang. The bocherish. Bocherish. And yonim. It means like young people, young kids, they do stupid things. So they say bocherish. Bocherish is an expression, a Yiddish expression. The bocherish years, or the bocherish, I don't know, it's an expression which means young kids do foolish, evil things. and sometimes these things have major consequences. And you have to people have to do teshuva for these things their whole life. So that's exactly the same way this true when it comes to an individual, it's true for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, Lechtech Achrei Bamidbar, we start out in a state of youth. Klal Yisrael, the collective neshamas of Klal Yisrael is a human being, is a marshal to a human being. And as time passes on, Klal Yisrael matures. It's built into the DNA, into the collective neshamah of Klal Yisrael, the experience that we have living through Doiris. Just because it's not noticeable, a person that's born, a young person that's born today, even though there's a Kabbalistic concept, in his neshama, somehow, is the experience of history. Ah, but what does this kid know? A kid is born, what are you talking about? The kid doesn't know from nothing. No, there's something that is spiritual that we're not familiar with, that a neshama that comes down to this world is mature. Okay, there's a maturity in the neshama. They've been there, done that. They have the experience of history, of world history. It's in the neshama of Klal Yisrael, the consequences of doing an avera, the advantages of doing mitzvahs, it's there. It's in the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael, and every single person has a part in understanding this. So, in the beginning of our existence, we did not get to have that experience. We made foolish mistakes. We behaved like children. So when Mashiach will come, then it will be cleansed, all of our faults. The Menachem, the Yaldusan v'shacharusan shel Yisrael v'sigolet tzidkasam, will be revealed their righteousness v'sikrav Yeshuasam, and their salvation will become come near sheyimoche Esav v'zaro. And that's when Esav and his progeny will be wiped out. Almus. The word almus, this is a different interpretation. It means elem, in elem. Elem means a young man. Elem is youth, a youth. In elem, yaldus. Labein, kimo lilabein. So according to Va'ani Yoimer, Alam Natseach, almus, a song of almus labein, of the cleansing of the mistakes of our youth. Smach bochur b'yaldusecha. How does the pasuk go? Smach bochur b'yaldusecha. The pasuk goes on to say, but v'da kiel kol ele ure. Go out after whatever your eye sees, do whatever you want. But remember, v'da kiel kol ele yavi elokim b'mishpat. In yaldus, we don't take into consideration, we don't believe that it's going to be accountability for all our sins. And the end of days is going to be an accountability, and there's going to be a need to purge all of the averos, and the elem, the word almos miloshen elem, a young man, labein is the cleansing. David HaMelech is singing a song, thanking Hashem for for his gift of cleansing from the neshama, the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael, their nourish of behavior. And this will coincide with the defeat of Esav and Amalek. And this is what David is seeing when he composes this mizmar, and he's expressing Shira. Al Shem, that's what he says, that's how he says, Yaldus is almost Yaldus Labin Labin, period. Umenachim Pasar. Now we go to Menachem. Now before he rejected Menachem. He rejected Menachem, he rejected Dunash, and he says, V'lo yitachin divadov, and suddenly, now, all of a sudden, Rashi comes back, and, oh, you know, Menachem, I feel bad, I said something that nice about you. I said that your parish is lo yitachin. That's pretty nasty.
That's on that one. Here, that's a good one.
This one's another, but he was going on, he's going on the word. Whatever, they think I'm going something else. All right. Pasar almus laben niginois lilamed. V'choy pisroinoi, what does it mean? It means lamatzech almus laben lamasharer niginois lilamed. A song, almus. Now he puts into two words, almus laben lamasharer, to the singer, niginois, melodies, lilamed. Vihi laben kmo lechavin ulevonin. As Reb Kalman said this, I think you said this, is that laben comes from bina, understanding. Now almus, what's almus? Al shem klishir sheshmoy alamos. So another interpretation. We had this, that the word, we had the word.
Al hashminit, al hagitin.
Yidusun. It's over a very specific musical instrument. A musical instrument, laben, means to teach and to instruct. To instruct, Kemo Sham B'Sefer Zem, Al Alamois Shir. Another example, I'm sure there you have many interpretations of what it means. So go the Lamatzeach for the conductor, Al Mus, regarding Al on a musical instrument that, and maybe he's calling it Mus, because on the one hand he breaks up the two words. The name of the musical instrument is called Mus, Labain, to teach, to understand.
So the Gemara says that somebody who learns with melody,
yeah,
you understand it better.
Someone who learns, because then you put it in memory, the Mishnais, that's one of the famous ideas of why the Mishnais are in the way they were, because the Mishnais were written to conform to the melody. We broke the rules of grammar in the Mishnais, we left out words in order to make it easy to memorize. Because the Mishnais were put to melodies, songs, and in the song it has to fit. If it doesn't fit, like composers today, composers have a beautiful melody and they work the words around melody. If the words don't fit, if you don't go change the melody for the words, you cut the words to make it for the melody. That's what they do, and they repeat things. So here, I'm not sure what it means over here, labedia. Or maybe you want to say this is a training, or it's a training, it's instructions. If a mannequin, like before you give a child a real violin, there's a training that many of the musical instruments. Before you give the kid the real thing, they have watered down versions of the instruments that are easier for the child to hold, to deal with, to train the child how to use the really, you just can't jump in. Like, you know, computers, it used to be years ago, computers, Mr. Bloom will tell you, DAS, when there was DAS, the old days when IBM came out with their disk operating system, DOS, a person can know the entire language inside out. There's only one language. There's DAS. I mean, it's an operating system language. I mean, you can master the entire language from beginning to end. You have a certain satisfaction. Now, there are only probably at least 200 languages that are commonly in use. At least 200 languages that are used every single day by people who make good money. And each language, in and of itself, some of them are just infinite. And it's literally impossible for one person to know the entire language and fully comprehend the power and the ability to take advantage of every single command, every single code word. And you know, you just have to specialize. Person today has to specialize in his little niche. And if you know how to, you know, sometimes there's a, you have to be able to convert one language or one collection of code to one code to another code. So you know, even talk about Windows. It used to be Windows 3.1. It was very easy. It really, you know, I used to know, I'm not trying to brag, I used to know it in my sleep. Now, the Windows 10, I'm telling you, I don't even know how to turn on the computer anymore. I don't know. It's crazy. It's like, and every couple of months, updates, they update. Oh,
yeah,
look at this. I don't even know.
12.
It's really, really a very steep learning curve. Even a smartphone. You give a person a smartphone, never had a smartphone. It took me a year to really realize what I had in front of me. I had a smartphone. I just used it for text and to call. I didn't really appreciate what was there. Oh, now I'm damaged, addicted to the power of a smartphone. It's a very, very steep learning curve. The same thing with music. Music, you just can't go and jump in to give a person a sophisticated musical instrument. There has to be training. So if you want to suggest Lamnatzech, Almus, he's telling us a musical instrument, Labain. Labain means to teach. He used the word, on the one he used the word to understand, but he also used the word over here, Lilameid. You see, he's throwing around a lot of words and it's not clear what he means to say. To understand, understanding is not the same thing as teaching. Of course, the only way you really understand anything is through teaching, but it's throwing in a lot of vocabulary, and it's not clear what he means. V'choy b'shonot, lamnatzech al muslabein, lamesharer. This is addressed, now the word lamnatzech is for the singer, okay, that's obvious. Lamnatzech is for the conductor. We're calling the mesharer. Neginois, I'm going to give you now a melody. The purpose of the melody is lilamein, is to teach. This is the instructor. It almost sounds like this melody I'm going to use is the perfect tool to train new Levim who join the service. A new Levi, this is basic training. What are you doing basic training? There are certain techniques. There are certain techniques that are scripted in what the soldiers do in order to get a flavor of what will be required of them in the service. Here is what he seems to be saying. I'm now giving to the Meshorer a tool and a melody in order that he can use as a teaching tool to the newcomers who need to be trained in the service of singing to Hashem. To understand, but before he says the word Bina, before he says that, obviously they're all related, he says Lil Amed. Lam Natzeach al Muslabein, Lam Sharer, Neginois, Lil Amed. To teach. I'm reading the words here. To teach. And then he goes on to explain, how do I get from the word labain to teach? Because the word labain comes from the word bina. Vehi labain, may it be the word labain be understood kimo, lehavin ulevonain, to discern. But that's not how he's translating the pasuk. He's translating the word labain, the makor of labain is to understand. Teaching represents a concept of understanding, to teach. When you teach, you're giving over information to others to understand, and you, the instructor, by you teaching, you sharpen your understanding. But the way he's translating here is, I'm addressing the singer, almus, upon this musical instrument, use this, labain, to teach, mizmar, a mizmar l'David. If I'm trying to say some drush, this mizmar test will be the entry level class for the new Levine who joined the service. And there's something very valuable in this mizmar. It touches upon perhaps all of the different elements of what all of the mizmar are about. And by learning and mastering this mizmar, you are inaugurating yourself, you are introducing yourself into the service. I don't know. Now he goes for the almus. Is al shem kli sheshmoy alamoy kmo shomo sevezal. We did it now. The dunash. Now we go to dunash. Pasar labain shem adam shayishmo labain. That was his name. Look him up in the telephone book. Shahaya milcham B'David, we had this many before since in those days. Mashu Oimer, Mash. Fine, it's a name. Of, there was an enemy. There was an enemy of the Jewish people. His name was Laban.
Wait a minute.
Against him. That's what the Olam Mepharshim says. The name of the city says, and that's what it says over the Mizmar. It says in the Mizmar, Go'ar to Goy Bibara to Rasha. Harasha hazehu Laban. He was Laban, our enemy. Ha'horeg amnikiyim. This man, by the name of Laban, he killed innocent people. Afal pish einat haroya b'mokoyim acher adam shoyishmo Laban. Check out Sefer Shmuel. I challenge you to find any remnants in the entire Sefer Shmuel to a person, an enemy of the Jewish people. His name was Laban. What are you talking about, Tom? David's lifetime. He had an enemy by the name of Laban. Really? Show me. Go through the Sefer Shmuel. There's a lot of stories in Sefer Shmuel. Dime a dozen. Show me. Show me a person by the name. You're not going to find it. Nehi. Also to teach.
To teach how to cry.
Okay, so this there is how to cry. Here is how to sing. There,
if you sing it the right way, right. Then it penetrates the left.
Absolutely. So there you're saying there was a teaching session to cry. This is a teaching session of joy.
Same thing.
There are different roles, different functions of the Levim. Fine. You're not going to find this person, Balabin, and that was very, very important. Not everything that happened in David's life is written. Not everything is there. The Tanakh only recorded things that are timely, things that we need to know. But there's a lot more that happened in the life of every single of the Yeshayahu Tanakh, and even major events, wars, battles. We would probably be shocked if we knew all of the different things that happened to each one of the Yeshayahu Tanakh, and yet there's no record, because it's not necessary. It's not necessary. And here, David composed the Mizmar, and the Mizmar was necessary, and he composed it regarding Laban. Who is the person? What happened with him? Who knows? No, you can learn from what it says in the pasuk a couple of things, but it's timely. We can take these words and use it in our situation, but it's not necessary to know exactly what happened with David. Maybe once upon a time they did know. A lot of things were lost. A lot of things were lost about a lot of people. That's why the kinois are very, like the piyutim. These people who study piyutim are able to uncover secrets that there's no sources for. We have certain piyutim which are from the very, very holy people that are very well accepted, and they say things in the piyutim, and what did you just say? You lived 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago is a long time, but it's also relatively speaking, relative to the Mesoira, they're like newcomers. And they say things, what right do you have to say this? How do you know? Prove it. Obviously, they had a tradition, or they had a midrash, not a losh from us. One example I always like to give is Bilhah and Zilpah. Bilhah and Zilpah, when Rachel, when Yirmiyah went to the Avos and he saw the Churban was imminent, he went and he cried. He met this woman that was dressed up, that was a beautiful woman that was dirty, filthy dirty, and she was dressed in black. And she told him, Yirmiyah, time is running out, you better do something desperate. Go to Moshe, go to his kever. He went to the cavern. Where is Moshe buried? No one knows. He went to Moshe. He went to Aaron. He went to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe and Aaron. He then went to the Imos. And then it says in the Kino, when he told Rachel, Rachel was crying, and he told Bilhah and Zilpah, they were pounding on their chest. They were going like this. Really? Where? Prove it. How can you say that? How could someone who lived 1,000 years ago say that when Yirmiyah went to Bilhah and Zilpah were pounding on their chest? You have a car? If someone today would write a book and would say this, they would say, what are you saying crazy things? How do you know? Well, who told you to say that? You know what it means to pound on your chest? You know who Bilhah and Zilpah are? Who told you this? Obviously, the Paiton who wrote this, maybe it was the Kaldir, I don't know who wrote that Kina, I don't remember. Obviously, he had a tradition. He had a Mesorah. This was the case. He had maybe a Midrashim that were authentic, that are totally today gone. Gone. There's no Mekar of these things. So just because we don't have it, you're not going to find the classic Midrashim, it does not mean that there were not Midrashim that were lost from us, or the very least, there is a Mesorah. And that is what Dunash over here, six very parable over here is that even though we don't find anywhere, Valkish Ainatom Ray Bamakam Akhar Adam Shayishmo Labain Rakbab Mazeb came out of Moitzi Bishem Sachidim. This is not the first time. It's not the first time that this happened. Sha'ainan Dhtav Bamikwa Rakpamachas. It's not the first time that you find other people whose names are mentioned only in one location, and there's no record of all the details that happened elsewhere. Okay, that ends this Rashi. Now notice that's with Rashi that we quoted Menachem and he quoted Dunash of it's an instruction. Lamatzech, it's a name of a musical instrument. It's calling Almos. Labein is to teach Lilameit. Or and then we have Dunash who says the name of a person. I remember what Rashi says. Vilo Yitochein. Rashi says about these two Perushim. Vilo Yitochein. He doesn't like. Cannot be. That's an important point. And what else? The Psikta, he gave credit to. The Psikta, yeah, he said nice words about the Psikta. And he said it means Elem, a young man. The Bocharish Inyanim of Klal Yisrael have to be cleansed with the coming of Mashiach, and that will coincide with the obliteration of our enemies. And then Rashi, the Linira, Rashi, he says, I'll tell you the real pshat. And the real pshat is, I already forgot, the Oimrani, it means, I made a mistake. That's the real pshat, he says, is the Elem, Almus Miloshim Elem, youth, Labein is Libun, our Bochrish and Yonah will be cleansed, Las Lava. Youthful indiscretion. And the Psikta, again, what did the Psikta say? It means similar. He didn't explain it though. He didn't explain how it relates to Sh'ini Medaber Ba'molik Ve'esa V'gu'ar Togoyim Ibarata Rosh Shema Mochisa. He didn't really explain. Maybe that's what he means. He's coming to explain that Oimer Ani is an explanation and the dot is incorrect. The article put a dot after the Psikta, Shema Mochisa, dot, the Oimer Ani. Then from the way the article presents it, appears to be that Rashi is saying an entirely different interpretation. Who says? Maybe Rashi, the Oimer Ani, is coming to explain the pshat in the Psikta. He's saying that it was referring to the wicked people, the wicked, and the fact that Amalek and Esav is in existence is because we have not yet purged our youthful in, what was the word, indiscretions?
Indiscretion.
We have not purged our youthful indiscretion. That's why we need, that's why Amalek is still in existence. So I'm a little bit disturbed with the dot. Rashi did not write dots. The best that I know, there were no dots in Rashi. And article put the dot over here to end the sentence. Is that really correct? Who knows? All right, we're not going to go too many things for me to memorize. There are so many. We went through over here probably 7, 8, 9 different perushim as to labain. Is alumus one word or two words? Is the word labain? What is labain? So many perushim, very beautiful perushim over here to explain what this means. What? Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chai.
I think this is what he meant.
Elu v'elu. And Dunash and Menachem, he quotes them at the end, but he says, v'lo yitochem. In the beginning, he had a very beautiful interpretation of Yesh Poisrim. Poyet to be Poiser. He didn't like those Perushim either. He didn't like Avshalom. He didn't like what it said about Novel. Okay, others said about that. I just saw somewhere else. I don't remember where I saw it. That he first, the Bane that died after right, that Bathsheba got pregnant with. David, the first time David was Bathsheba, she became pregnant and had a child, and that child died, and David mourned. Some learned that's the bane. Okay, we've learned Baruch Hashem many perushim. Now we're going to go further to Pasuk Beis. The Mitzvah is David on page 72. On 72 says what? There is no Mitzvah that's David. Rashi, b'chol nifloseha geula. All of you want is geula. Acharonah sheshkula k'negev kol anisim. K'mal shnemar lo ye'omer oid chay Hashem asher he'elah. It's almost impossible for us to believe this, to relate to this. I mean, you need a muna. You need a lot of it. Someone once told me from the name of Ravigda Miller, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He says there were people that were saying, they were quoting very esoteric midrashim about different types of miracles and, you know, all the spooky stuff, fish are talking to you, and they went into the fish store and a fish was talking, and this, all these things going on, and people, and this happened and that happened, and people swear their life by it, all these things. So Ravigdor Miller said, he said something very, very powerful. He said, you know, let's be realistic, we have a very hard time believing what Chazal told us. It's very taxing on the mind. Many people don't think, so it just goes right over their head. But when you learn seriously, and you learn about the Ten Makos, you learn about Yitzias Mitzrayim, you learn about the miracles of Hanukkah, all whole history of Klal Yisrael. Chazal tell us things. And as an Orthodox Jew, we have a duty, an obligation to be Maminim. Animam Be'emunah Shleima. It's very strainful on the mind to accept. That is a life work to accept and to be mining in what Chazal told us. Don't add more things to the list that you're telling me I should believe. Don't come and tell me, guess what, I went to the fish store today and the fish was talking to me. You know, open up Chumash. Learn Chumash, learn. There are a lot of powerful things. Work on being maimin in what we have. Don't waste your time being maimin in new things that people are trying to take advantage of vulnerable people who are gullible to this type of stuff. Focus on the ikarim in your emuna before you focus on new things, chadoshim labakarim. It's not a mahalich. Over here, Rashi says, "B'chol nifli osecha." This is a Chazal. You learn Chumash. This now, especially Chumash Shemois. The whole Chumash Shemois, from beginning to end, are nisim b'niflois. That's another fundamental difference between Chumash Bereishis and Chumash Shemois. Chumash Bereishis, b'derech klal, are all derech hateva. I mean, Hashem spoke to the Avosa. Vayoyitz yosa achutza. Okay, that's a different dialogue. There was a communication, a divine communication. But Hashem, b'derech klal, most of Chumash Bereishis is derech hateva. Derech hateva, people died, people suffered. The Avos had tragedies in their life. Okay, Hashem threw Avram to the Kivshan. He survived the Kivshan Ha'esh, the four kings, the five kings. But b'derech klal, you know, there were problems. The whole Chumash Shemos is about real life, reality. Chumash Shemos, Moshe comes, one Moifes, another Moifes, so Moifes into this one, Moifes into that one. Paro tries to chop off his head, it turns into Parsha Shemos, turns into marble, comes Parsha Sevo'era, this week's Parsha, 100% from beginning to end, is Nisim and Niflaus. Next week's Parsha, Parsha Bo. They go in the Midbar. Midbar, you survive in the Midbar. Left Achrayim by Midbar. You build a Mishkan. The Mishkan, the whole everything is Nisim and Niflos. It's heavy. And yet, Chazal said that Lo'osil Lover, the Geula Ho'achrayna, we're living now in that time. We're living on the Mamish in the boundary. We're Mamish living now. What's the word? The cross.
Precipice.
The precipice of the Geula. And what does it say? Geula achronish shkula kineged kol hanisa. We're holding right there. Im loy achshav emosai. Okay, the whole world, this is getting out of control. And it says the geula achronish shkula kineged kol hanisa. Amazing, huh? It's unbelievable. No longer, when the Gula comes, when we say we'll be the Ikar, we're not going to focus anymore on the Ikar and Yitzias Mitzrayim, but instead the focus is going to be on Le'asir Lavoi. Oida Hashem v'chol libi asapra kubuk asapra, I will relate kol nif liyosecha. And this Maim Chazal is found in the word kol. Why does it say the word kol? Because kol to happen in the future is going to be shah connected all of the Nitzim put together. Next pasuk, Esmecha ve'elza bach. I will have joy and elza. Elza in my limited vocabulary is the same thing as simcha. It means a very high moment in the Malvin moment, a very very high degree of joy. Elza, I'll be uplifted in happiness. There's simcha ve'elza bach. Yu Hashem azamer. I will sing simcha elyon. I will sing Shimcha Elyon. Question, is the word Elyon coming to, what is the subject of the word Elyon? Is it Shimcha Elyon, your name, your exalted name, or Shimcha Kama? Elyon, it's going back, the subject of the word Elyon is going back on the Simcha and the Elza. That the Elza and the Simcha will be Elyon, relating to your simcha. I will rejoice in you, Hashem. Azamer Shimcha. I will go back on the word Azamer. The word Elyon will be going back to the word Azamer. Azamer Shimcha Elyon. I will sing very much. In other words, rearrange the words in the pasuk. Azamer Elyon Shimcha. Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat? No. Azamera to Shimcha Elyon. Is the word, what is the subject of Elyon? Is the subject the word Shimcha? Or is the subject Azamra? Should we arrange the words? Azamra Elyon relating to Shimcha. Or Azamra Kama, Shimcha Elyon. Let's see the Mishnah of it. Pasuk Gimel. Azamra Shimcha Elyon. Ashabcha Loimar. I will sing about you to say, Ashabcha, I will sing about him, referring to Hashem Kama. Loimar to say, Sheshmoy Oin Elyon, that his name is even more Elyon ve Naale al Kol HaTishbochas. So the Elyon is Hashem's name, going on Hashem.
Additionally, or does it mean once again? Because we're talking about the Asid Lava, right? So at that time, well, yeah, Hashem, you know, Mel HaKol Aretz and so on. So once again, will Hashem's name be elevated?
But then look how the word Elyon is being used. It's not defining Hashem's name. It's really going back on the word Azamra. I will. Let's read the rearrange the pasuk. Shimcha. Let's put the word Shimcha first. Your name. What am I going to do with your name, Hashem? I'm going to take it. I'm going to sing, and my song is going to express the idea that it is now elevated than more so than it ever was before. So we're rearranging the words, putting the word Shimcha first. Shimcha, your name Hashem now.
Put Elyon at the beginning, see what happens.
Elyon Azamara. Oh, that's better. Elyon Azamara Shimcha.
No, not
I like that.
Esmecha ve'elza bach. Azamara Shimcha.
Now I like what you said. Just take those three words. There are many different ways to do it. There are many different ways. That's why that's the whole nature of Tehillim and Nevi'im Achronim. But I like what you said. The last thing you just said. Take these three words. Put the word Elyon first. Elyon Azamara Shimcha, or put the word Shimcha first. Shimcha Elyon Azamara. The word Elyon is not describing the Hashem's name. Hashem is Elyon.
But it is paired with Shimcha. Tovla dos Hashem, Zamer Shimcha Elyon. It goes together.
Okay.
What look how the mitzvah there. I obviously there are many perushim to this. Obviously, but look how the mitzvah stuff learns. It's very it's a good exercise in appreciating that when you read a pasuk like this and any pasuk in Tehillim, don't forget to roll the dice. Don't forget to take the words and to rearrange them in many different ways.
Fine, I just think these are a pair.
But okay, it depends on the commentator. It depends on the commentator. Look at how the Mitzudah started. The Mitzudah started says the word Azamira Shimchulyon, Ashabichoy Loimar. I will praise him, Hashem, to say Sheshemoy, that his name, it's not his Shmoy Elyoin, but Shemo, that his name, Od Elyoin. It is more exalted than Alen, uplifted Al Kol HaTishbuchais. Clearly, the Mitzvah Stavit is telling us that the word Elyon should be brought back to the word Azamira. It is what you should do in your Zemer. The goal of the Zemer is to produce a result. The result is to take Hashem's name that is independent and uplift it and allow it to become revealed and exalted in the eyes of the world. So it not doesn't mean some would say, well, I'm sure, that Hashem's name, we have a noun and an adjective. Shimcha Elyon. Hashem, you, your name is a name that is independent, but in and of itself is Elyon. I now enter into the arena, and I want to take that name, that Shimcha Elyon, the name which Elyon, and I want to say thank you. That's it. That's I'm sure someone else, I have no doubt someone else is going to say that. That's probably more very simplistic, but not into Zavim. Targum is excellent. Targum, Achadei ve'evdach, I will have joy, ve'evdach and praise, b'memroch. Oh, so you see, this is a typical Targum. Targum over here doesn't want to say Bach in you. He never wanted Targum this time. This is not Targum Ungolus. Targum Ungolus is the only one that did that. This is Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason over here is saying, or is it Targum Yonason or Targum Yosef? No, there is no Targum. There is no Targum on Kesuvim. Yeah? I don't think it's Targum Yonason and all of Kesuvim.
This is regular Targum?
No, it's Targum Yosef. I think it's called Yosef. There are different Targum. This is not, because the Gemara says the Feirush.
Right. Yeah,
there is
right.
No Targum Yonason on all of Kesuvim. Why? Because there's one pasuk, one pasuk in Daniel that in the Galil. So what does everyone ask question? Because of one pasuk, you can't go give us a targum. You understand on the all of Ksuvim? Come on! So that one pasuk, don't mean targum. Thank you very much. Rashi also, we spent last week talking about targum. Rashi also didn't give targum on Atoros V'divon. Right? So one pasuk. So you have to go a casualty the whole targum. Terry says no. The Gemara means to say is when it says in the pasuk the Gilei Akeitz of Sefer Daniel, it doesn't just mean that one pasuk is the Gilei Akeitz. That's just a more open revelation. All of Kesuvim from beginning to end is the Gilei Akeitz. And that opens up a world of commentary on what is the chiluk between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Radak, the first Radak in Chumash in Yoshua, this is a very, very famous Radak. What is the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? There are so many perushim as to the difference between them, but this piece of Gemara really says the best, says it all. And the difference is all of Nevi'im is Musar. It's prophecy, what's going to be in the future, what it's going to be like, revelation of secrets. You can say whatever you want to say. But there's not one iota in all of Nevi'im as to when the Gula will come. In Nevi'im, you want the Gula to come? It's up to you. Hayoim. Hayoim in the Koloi Tishmo. What is Kesuvim? It's telling you exactly how to answer. Here's the punchline. This is very important. You saw it. We know there are two zmanim for the gula, beita and achishena. Beita pasuk, beita achishena. Beita means it will come in the set time. Beita, if Klal Yisrael doesn't get with the program, it will come in a preordained set time. But if Klal Yisrael wants the gula to come earlier, achishena. Hayoim, if the whole Klal Yisrael today would wake up and say, you know what, it's time to be Chozer Veshuva, with sincerity, Mashiach Hayoyim in Bekoloi Teshmah. That is the chilek between Nevi'im and Kisurim. Every single thing in Nevi'im is Hayoyim in Bekoloi Teshmah. I'm giving you Musa, Yishai, Yecheskel, Yirmiah, Treosa, all the books of the Nevi'im Yishayim. There are lessons here. Take the lesson. Hayoyim in the Koloi Teshmah. Kisuvim. From beginning to end. Tehillim as well. It's all, you want to be lazy? You're not interested? All right, I'm going to bring the Gula anyway without you. Because that's how it's going to be. But it's going to be Be'ita. Be'ita. And that is why there is no Targum Yoyneson on the entire Seder of Kisuvim from beginning to end, because the entire Seder of Kisuvim is all Begeder Be'ita. It will be telling you lessons, telling you, revealing secrets of what it's going to be like when it comes Be'ita. And that's why. That is the chiluk between Nevi'im and Kisuvim. Be'ita verse Achishena. And the pasuk in Daniel is just Dover Shoy Bechlal. V'yotza min achlal l'lamed. Loy l'lamed al atzma yotza. Ella l'lamed al kol haklal kulu yotza. On the entire Seder of Kisuvim. All right. So over here we have this mitzvah. Let's see Rashi. Let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalit. Bishuv oivai. Achor. Yikashlu v'yodu miponecha. When my enemies go backwards, and what does it mean? When my enemies retreat, yikashlu v'yodu miponecha, they will stumble and they will fall from before you. What does that mean? Mitzvah Stavu Pasuk. Pasuk Dalit on page 72. Bishuv kishlo yuchla oivai li. When my enemies will no longer be able to, when they will no longer be able to overcome me, the yashuvu le'achar, the yikashu, they will stumble, the yoivdu, oz then, esmcha ve'elza, I will rejoice, going back in the previous pasuk, simcha kefula ba'avur ha'tayva ha'kefula, the double blessing. When my enemies, when that time comes, and they stumble, you have to really read these two sukkim together, so let's read the pasuk Dalit first and pasuk Gimel. When my enemies, when they retreat, because they can no longer overcome me, and they stumble and they are destroyed from before you, then I will rejoice. So the Mitzvah Stavu is novel in what he's doing over here. He's taking the entire pasuk as a statement, not as a cause and effect. If you be like me, and Hashem to be as ignorant as me, you would read pasuk. Right, yes, in reverse. Yeah. If you would read the pasuk on a simple level, you would break up the beginning of the pasuk and the end, the cause and effect. B'shul oivai achar, when my enemies they retreat, then is the time when they're going to stumble. Yikashlu v'yoyvdu miponecha. Okay, that's a very nice shot, but that's not what the Mitzvah Stavit says. The Mitzvah Stavit says the entire pasuk is one long run-on sentence.
Right.
And the follow-up is pasuk Gimel. When my enemies retreat, and when, you have to add the chaf, you have to add the base, another base, the koshlu, the yoivdu, you have to almost like add another base there. And when my enemies, they stumble on there and they're destroyed from before you, then go back to pasuk Gimel, then esmecha v'elza, Bach Azamra Shimcha Elyon. Okay? This is style. You the rule always is don't ever read anything in order. Always, and not only one pasuk, even two pasukim, you can go backwards in two pasukim. At least according to the Mitzudah is David. Look at this one again to the side, Vyashul Yadu Az then Esmcha V'Elza. Simcha kifula ba'avur ha'tayva ha'kifula. Rashi, no Rashi. Pasuk, hey. Pasuk says, ki asisa mishmati vidini. Hashem, you have done, you have executed, you have judged, brought forth my mishpat vidini, my judgment. Yoshavta lichisei, you have sat on your throne, shefei tzedek. very important pasuk. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, the worst thing in the world is there's an absence of mishpat. When a person is hurt, the most comforting thing a person can do after he suffers a tragedy of being a victim, at least is mishpat. Mishpat. And you live in a society where there's no mishpat, that's a curse. That is a real tragedy when you don't get your day in court. When society is so corrupt, there's no mishpat, and here is the time we live in Golis, 2,000 years of Golis, where there's a real pain that we have that there's no mishpat for the Jewish people. The Jewish people are abused, they are victims, and the goyim get away with it. The goyim get away with it when you have done my mishpat and my dini, and you have listened and listened to my cause. Your shafta, be quiet. He's going. Let's see the mezuzah. How he precisely translates. Pasuk hey, ki osisa haloi rabois pa'amim osisa mishpati. Many times you have done my mishpat. Your shafta bechisel l'shpoit oivai. Hashem, you'll do it. I guess in this pasuk hey, David over here is telling himself, giving himself encouragement. He's giving himself chizuk. You've done this in the past. I can draw from that, knowing that you will do this again in the future. This is a technique that psychologists use. When a person is down and out, and they're very, very depressed, you ask them, was there ever a time in your life where you had something similar to this happened, where you were down and out? You were down and out, and then guess what? Things turned all the way around. And people say, yes, there were times. Just like it happened before, it's going to happen again. There were similar circumstances. You found yourself in a very desperate situation, and you never, ever thought you would recover, and you did. So now also, it's easier, because now you have history behind you. Now you have experience. Dwell, okay, the technique in psychology. Dwell very deeply about your previous difficulties in life. And go enter, you know, we'll put you to sleep, hypnosis. We're going to take you back to those days when you were homeless and you're on the street. What am I going to do? And then somehow you pull through and you really, you know, you got to a much better place. You see that Hashem can bring salvation. So now also, have faith. You're in a better position now because you have the experience of having received salvation in the past. It's exactly what David is doing. David is a psychologist. David is the ultimate psychologist. He's saying over here, you know, we got a lot of trouble over here, and I have a lot of enemies, and Hashem, do me a favor, I'm waiting for that day when my enemies, they'll be defeated. They will retreat. They will stumble. They will be destroyed. And then I will have such joy, and I shouldn't give up that it's not going to happen, because Hashem, in the past, you've done this for me. If you've done it for me in the past, I can draw from that inspiration, and you will do it for me again in the future. That's Rashi Pasuk Hey says, Mishpati
Vidini. The same sentence.
Yes, see that. But the Mitsuda knows that, but that's
why
what Mitsuda knows that is. Yeah?
Why I praise you? Kiasita Mishpati Tzedek, and so forth.
Okay, but that's what he's doing over here. That's not, I hear what you're saying. That's another pshat. That's a different pshat. I'm trying to focus on what Mitsuda of it says, Kiasita. Haloi, Rabois Pa'amim Osisa Mishpati Vyashafta Bechisi Lishpoit Oivai. The Mitsuda David is taking past the Gimel Dal, reversing it. And then he's saying, David is saying to himself, I shouldn't get depressed. I shouldn't worry. It's going to happen because it happened in the past. It'll happen again. And it's the mitzvah. Obviously, you can take these psukim, you can dash many, many words. And the mitzvah Zavshim was focused on the mitzvah Zavshim. It was grounded in the mitzvah Zavshim. Rashi says, Mishpati v'dini yesh tevos kefulos b'mikro ve'ein tichiluk b'neihem. Ooh, that's a real, real mouthful. Woohoo. Woohoo. To say that, oh, the mitzvah Zavshim is all the time. V'kofal hadavar, what's the expression? V'kofal hadavar, I always say poetic repetition. Two words mean exactly the same. Don't get carried away here. Don't become a briska, a gava, the chefsa, this and this and this. Just read. Don't get worked up over repetition. There's the word simcha. There's the word, next word is e'elza. Don't get carried away over here. We have another pasuk that says there's a mishpat and there's a dini. What is this? The Malbim here. You're going to go and you're going to make a chilek between the word mishpat and the word din, the word between simcha. Come on! Relax! Poetic repetition. It all means the same thing. Woo! For Rashi to do that is not so common. Rashi says, Yesh tevois kifulas b'mikra v'ein chiluk b'neihem. It's all the same. Kofal hadavar l'chazek hadavar.
Synonyms.
Mishpati v'dini. Bashamayim Adi v'sadi. In Shemayim, another example of Eiv. In heaven, there is Adi v'sahadi b'mirayimim. Two expressions. In Shemayim is my witnesses, is my testimony. And the Sahadi, which is basically a Samach, a Sahad is a witness, is Bamiraimim is in the heavens. So the word Bamiraimim is the same word as the word Shemayim. And the word Adi is the same word as Sahadi. So you see, don't get carried away. A Tzamav Afike Nechusha. His bones are Afike Nechusha. Nechusha means they're strong like copper. Afike, they've come forth, they've been produced, they've been quarried. They've come forth from Nochash is copper. And then it says Giramav. Giramav is another word for bones. His bones, Kimitil Barzel, it said that it's come forth from iron.
Like a load of iron.
Hold on. So these two expressions are poetic, they mean exactly the same thing. Exactly, they're eloquent in exactly the same things. I've literally, next, so Mishpati v'dini b'ashamayim, fine, yashat l'kisei, kisei mishpat. I began to appreciate lately, but there are different types of writers. I didn't realize this until, I guess I just don't read all of them, I don't know how to read. Is there certain writers that are incredible, eloquent, such eloquent speakers also, incredible eloquence. The word they know, I mean, just to read is just incredible. And you read, wow, it's beautiful. And then when it's over, okay, what did he say? What's the upshot? Nothing. Eloquent baloney. And then there are writers.
I had Jacobson. Yeah. Wayne Jacobson. He gave a beautiful one, and he says five words in Yiddish about the same thing. And he said, this is for the Hungarian, and this is for the and this is for the Lithuanians. So he said five, and so forth.
Each word has own flavor. And then there are writers.
And he says, it's just a joke.
There are writers that write.
He knows how to speak.
They are very good. They write or they speak. They know how to explain something. Really, they know how to put it over. And you walk away, I got it. Whether it's in writing, but they're no perfect English, no grammar issues, but they don't have that eloquence. They don't have that incredible flavor. They don't have these beautiful expressions. So they don't have that. So each one has their koyach. To have a person. That is both. That's one of a kind. To find a person who can, on the one hand, be masbir, explain concepts, difficult concepts, and explain them with simplicity, and you can walk away having in your hand, and also give you the pleasure of that, the eloquence, command of the language, one in a million. There are people out there, I can name you a whole list of people that are eloquent, incredibly eloquent. And I love, but either in speakers or in writing, but, you know, you don't always run to listen to them or to listen, because sometimes you can summarize what they said. No, they don't, the toichen is not always there. And then there are people incredible, Bali Mazbir, but they don't have that joy of you know, the eloquence. to have that combination, that's really one of a kind. You see Rashi over here, Tehillim, he says a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. The ein chiluk b'nehem. He's quoting a pasuk in Iyyub, causing him to this, and he's saying, this eloquence. This is eloquence. All this over here. Don't get carried away over here. It's just eloquence. Different expressions. Don't get, don't focus on nuances. Obviously, the Malbim and many of the commentators, they don't like that. Every single word has a limud, has a message. The Gemara does many, many times. Rashi, loibasi elo mefarish. Is this included when Rashi elo mefarish, they've shot? Okay, it's very late. We'll take a short break.
Today's the, Colin mentioned, today's the yard site of a guy named Gedalia Hertz, who was born in Poland. He learned at Lubavitch Yeshiva in Warsaw. He went to Rav Shimon Shkrop in Krasna. He moved there to Israel and he learned there by the Sfasa, by the Imre Yosef, by the Gera, and became the Rosh Yeshiva in Gera. Today's his yard site. It's also the yard site of Nathan Strauss. If you don't know who Nathan Strauss is, the name Natanya or from Strauss, Natanya. He established pasteurization milk stations all over the New York and the United States, which got rid of a lot of disease which was coming from unpasteurized milk. He started it also in Yerushalayim. I think the Tipat Chalav that Hadassah later got involved with. He was one of the biggest supporters of Eretz Yisrael. And the day he was supposed to go with his brother on the Titanic,
Mm-hmm.
He broke his leg in the Eretz Yisrael and he couldn't, he had to miss the boat.
Lucky for him.
Yeah, he didn't have to try. So, this is Nathan, his brother's name was
the big
Abram and Strauss, Klein, Macy's, they own Macy's.
He was a firm man?
Didn't say that. Why not?
I don't know.
He has a cheska, but he really, Eretz Yisrael, he established clinics for putting drops in the kids' eyes because there was a disease, and there was also the milk that he gave to the very bacteria for milk. A lot of stories about that. Yeah. All right. Barodi. Barodi was a Saudi Arabian ambassador to Lebanon. He was the Lebanese. And he was the ambassador of Saudi Arabia. Right, and every time Barodi said something, he said such funny stuff.
That's how it is. The Iraqi also was very good
speaker.
It was on Friday night when they went in
there. Yeah, but Baruch Hashem, I could buy food for the kids around, so
he had this medrash in
I'm used to just eating meat.
3 hours.
That's it. Usually I'm ready to charge at.
That's not how it works.
It's not one style, you know, to start waiting to get and to eat for another 3 hours. Now, you know, I know, exactly. Right, see, he makes up for it.
He tries to make up for it.
Yeah, he tries to make up for it. A lot of the times.
Everybody's in the WWE.